Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Law Hour. Now, The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is heard live, daily, 7 days a week, and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about The Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And The Law Hour brings you important information about law, news, education, medicine, economics, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on brainwashing when we return right after this message. Well, are you concerned about your privacy? And how much does your government know about you anyway? And how much do you want government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself. And everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you in your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. Information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how much information is gathered, what information is stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or your own mouth. Now, the CIA and the FBI and your local police department have plenty of privacy, don't they? You don't know anything about them. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for my free general law CD package? That's a four-hour program. It's entertaining, informative, educational. Best of all, it's free of charge. All you have to do is call the law school at 417-273-4967 to order yours. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about brainwashing. The communists, the Russians, have a different term. They call it brainwashing psychopolitics. Psychopolitics. Brainwashing is a euphemism. It goes back into ancient times. It isn't something that just cropped up in the last 5 or 10 years, this thing called brainwashing. It isn't something that the Chinese communists developed in Korea in the 1950s. It's been around for thousands of years. How do you persuade people against their will and over their objection, people who would ordinarily not do a particular course of action, how can you persuade them to do that and actually believe that they thought it up? If you take a look at America, from 1787 to the present, in our Constitution, our founding fathers put no public schools into our Constitution, yet today we have public schools. 47 million American children are enrolled in those public schools. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. How did the communists persuade us that we needed to put our children in public schools and follow that 10th? Our founding fathers did not give us an income tax. Income tax has been around for thousands of years. The tithing system is an income tax. That came from Moses. But the heavy progressive income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. It is not in our Constitution until it was inserted in 1913. How did the communists persuade us that we should adopt their second plank, the income tax? Well, we've adopted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and the communists have not adopted a single principle from our Constitution or Bill of Rights. We have not been able to persuade, brainwash, or psychopolitic the communists, but they have been able to the psychopolitic brainwash us. So let's take a look at some of the techniques that are used. The goal is to make the recruits vulnerable, to get the recruit to give up whatever control over their thoughts and actions that they might have. The goal is to make the cult members feel like passengers on a rudderless ship on a stormy sea. The recruiter or the cult leader has a rudder, and only he can guide the ship to safety. The techniques available to manipulate the vulnerable are legion. One technique is to give them the love that they feel they do not get elsewhere. Convince them that through you and your community, they can find what they're looking for, even if they haven't got a clue that they're looking for anything. Convince them that they need faith in you and that you have faith in them. Convince them that their friends and family outside the group are hindrances to their salvation. Isolate them. Only you can give them what they need. You love them. You alone love them. You would die for them, so why wouldn't they die for you? But love alone can only get you so far in winning them over. Fear is a great motivator. Fear that if they leave, they'll be destroyed. Fear that if they don't cooperate, they'll be condemned. Fear that they can't make it in this miserable world alone. The manipulator must make the recruit paranoid. All right? So let's go back to the beginning of the Cold War. We Americans were the top of the food chain in 1945. When the communists, the Russians, exploded an atomic bomb, it sent fear through Americans. Through the use of fear, we were taught and trained that our only salvation was the United Nations. We had to join the United Nations, and the United Nations would bring the world peace. By 1989, we had bought into the program. Over a long period of time, like the camel sticking his nose into the tent, little by little, a piece at a time, we've finally come to the point where we have accepted the United Nations as being the only salvation for America. And remember, there have been 14 Secretary Generals of the United Nations. All 14 of them are communists. They have slowly but surely moved us from our Republican form of government over to a democracy, and then they've moved us from a democracy to a socialist welfare state. Now, the last step will be the proletariat. We'll move from the social welfare state to the proletariat. The Cold War is over, and the communists have clearly won. And they've won it through the process of brainwashing. In the same way that the Moonies brainwashed their recruits, the communists have brainwashed the entire American population, all of us. Now, not everybody buys into the program, and there are some reactionaries out there. There are some reactionaries in Canada and Australia and New Zealand, but they're in such a small minority. Political and economic control of all of the nations of the world is now in the hands of the United Nations, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund. Now, love and fear may not be enough, however, so guilt must be used also. Fill the recruit with so much guilt that they will want to police their own thoughts. Remind them that they are nothing alone, but with you and God or some power or technique, the United Nations. They are everything. Fill them with contempt for themselves so that they will want to be egoless, selfless, one with you and yours. You not only strip them of any sense of self, but you convince them that the ideal is to be without a self. Keep up the pressure. Be relentless. Humiliate them from time to time. Soon they will consider it their duty to humiliate themselves. Control what they read. Control what they hear and see. Repeat the messages for eyes and ears, and gradually get them to make commitments, small ones at first, then work your way up until you own their property, their bodies, and their souls. And don't forget to give them drugs, starve them, or have them meditate or dance or chant for hours at a time until they think they've had some sort of mystical experience. Make them think, it was you, Lord, who made me feel so good. They won't want to give it up. They have never felt so good. They look as if they are in hell to those of us on the outside, but from the inside it looks like heaven. Now take race and race relations. We've been made to feel that we oppressed the Negroes. And because of this great oppression, we have flagellated ourselves, and we're on the verge now of giving this generation reparations for what five generations ago suffered. It's never been done before. But in the process, it bankrupts the nation. See, America has been bankrupted. We've been made to feel that we're guilty. We have so much, and the rest of the world has so little, so we have to give it away in the form of foreign aid. We have to be the world's policemen. We have to go out and make everything right for everybody else. Now, our God told us not to do that. See, we were given strict and specific instructions. Don't make any contracts or treaties with these foreign and alien nations around you. Don't make a CETO pact. Don't make a NATO compact. Don't join the IMF. Don't sign on to the United Nations. But we did. And as a result of that, the individual freedoms and liberties that are a part and parcel with property and property rights have now been taken away from us. And we love it. Americans are just as happy as clams at high tide. And we have been given all of the material wealth that you can imagine. Well, we're bringing in slave labor products into the United States to satiate our appetites for more material wealth. Materialism is a part and parcel of the brainwashing process. You make these people so dependent upon their materialism and upon their routine, mundane lives that they haven't got time to think about anything outside the box. Americans no longer can think. All of your thinking is done for you. It's done for you by your senators and representatives. You're unable to determine whether or not you should or should not vaccinate your children. Your masters have told you vaccination is the law, so everybody vaccinates their children. A few people outside the box, but 88% are in. We're talking about psychopolitics, brainwashing. We'll be back with more when we return to this break. Yeah. All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest sponsored by the Gordon Law School. All of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the Internet at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, counted, and more than at any time in our history, surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity, from bank deposits to medical visits, has produced greater efficiency and security, all right, but it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American, according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems containing 10,799 categories of information about New York residents, and every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, information about you is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how government, banking, insurance, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their secrets? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? And what do they want it for? It's knowing how information is gathered and what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, for more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. And I'll tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. It's educational, informative, and entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, just call the law school at 417-273-4967 to order yours. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about brainwashing. Now, whether you're engaged in psychopolitics or you're trying to persuade someone to join your church or group or organization, your lodge, there are techniques that you can use to persuade people who ordinarily would not be persuaded. But there are five motivators in human nature, and they are vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. These five motivators in the hands of a skilled and trained practitioner can brainwash you and persuade you that you should change course and do something different. Sounds kind of bizarre, doesn't it? I know most of you are saying, well, you can't do that to me. Oh, it's already been done to you. It's already been done. The church that you belong to, the political party that you're associated with, the military institution that you're a part of, all of these are manifestations of persuasion, manifestations of brainwashing. Now, what religion doesn't use guilt and fear to get people to police their own thoughts? What religion, like the United States of America, doesn't use guilt to make young men feel that they owe it to their country to join the army and fight to make the world safe for democracy? When democracy is not the system of government that is American, democracy is the transitional system of government of the communists. Now, if you said, I want to fight to make the world safe for communism, well, now, you might not have been brainwashed. You might have actually made a conscious decision to turn against your country, turn against your constitution, and to join this new world order. But if you joined the army because you felt that you owed it to your country, have you ever seen anybody join God or obey God and the Bible? I haven't seen anybody do that, but boy, do they get excited about France, Germany, and the United States and Canada. They will obey the laws of California, Washington, and Oregon, but you don't see people obeying the laws of God. Now, even some therapists will use similar methods to control their patients. They prey on the vulnerable. They demand total loyalty and trust as a price for hope and healing. They often isolate their prey from loved ones and friends. They try to own and control their clients. The methods of recruiters are not much different. Are the recruits the converts to the faith and the patients willing victims? How would we tell the difference between a willing victim and an unwilling victim? If we cannot do that, then we can't distinguish any true cases of mind control. Now, recruiters and other manipulators are not using mind control unless they are depriving their victims of their free will. A person can be said to be deprived of his free will by another only if that other has introduced a causal agent which is irresistible. How could we ever demonstrate that a person's behavior is the result of irresistible commands given by a religious, spiritual, or personal growth leader? It's not enough to say that irrational behavior proves a person's free will has been taken away from them. It may be irrational to give away all of your property or to devote all of your time and power to satisfying the desires of your divine leader or to commit suicide or plant poison bombs in subways because you've been ordered to do so. But how can we justify claiming such irrational acts are the acts of mindless robots? For all we know, the most bizarre, inhumane, and irrational acts done by the recruits are done freely, knowingly, and joyfully. Perhaps they're done by brain-damaged or insane people. But in either case, such people would not be victims of mind control. So, from the American's point of view, from the clinical point of view, unless we could, if we could put some kind of a box or an agent into your mind and take control of you, we don't have brainwashing. Well, then how is it that Americans have bought into communism, bought into the United Nations, which is the diametric opposite to our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the traditional American way of life? Now, 65% of Americans go to church. 65% of Americans are religious people. 65%. You know, that's more people than voted the last president into office. That's a bigger majority than voted Bill Clinton into office. 65% of people believe in God. And they carry Bibles, and they read Bibles, and they do all kinds of things. Now turn to Leviticus 19, verse 19, and ask yourself this question. Have you ever met somebody as religious as they are who actually practiced those three principles of law contained in Leviticus 19:19? I've never seen a Christian who went into Walmart, picked up a garment, looked at the garment that said 65% cotton and 35% nylon, and put it back and said, I'm not going to buy this because it violates the law of God. I've never seen that, have you? What is it that makes people religious? What is it that makes people call on the name of Jesus and then they don't do anything that he tells them to do? Have you ever wondered about that? Same thing is true with nations. Why do people call themselves Americans and practice socialism? The American system of government under our Constitution and Bill of Rights is the exact and diametric opposite, but every American has a Social Security number, you know, for practical purposes, and practices socialism. And remember, Social Security is the third rail of politics. Why, Americans believe that they thought it up. It's their idea. That leaves for consideration the acts of kidnappers and inquisitors, the acts of systematic isolation, control of sensory input, and torture. Now, do these methods allow us to wipe the cortical slate clean and write our own messages to it? That is, can we delete the old and implant new patterns of thought and behavior into our victims? First, it should be noted that not everybody who has been kidnapped comes to feel love or affection for their kidnappers. It may be that some kidnapped or captured people are reduced to a state of total dependency by their tormentors. They are put in a position similar to that of infancy and begin to bond with their tormentors, much as an infant does with the one who feeds and comforts it. There's also the strange fascination that most of us have with bullies. We fear the bully. We may even hate the bully, but often we want to join the bully's gang so that we can be protected by this same gang. That's what you see in the big cities with the Crips. There's another big gang. And people join these gangs of bullies. Nobody likes a bully. Well, why would you want to join a gang and become a bully? Is it fear? Is it vanity? Is it jealousy? Is there any lust and greed involved? It does not seem likely that people who fall in love with their kidnappers or who turn against their country under torture are victims of mind control. There is certainly some explanation as to why people act as Patricia Hearst did, and while others, or why others, under similar circumstances, would not have become a Tanya as Patricia Hearst did. It is doubtful that mind control should play much of a role in the explanation. Some women are attracted to gangsters, but have few opportunities to interact with them. We do not need to revert to mind control to explain why Hearst became intimate with one of her terrorist captors. She may have thought she had to in order to survive. She may have been genuinely attracted to him. How do we know? Mind control is a better defense than, I changed my mind about a life of crime when I was faced with bank robbery and murder charges. Now, finally, it is widely believed that the Chinese were successful in brainwashing American prisoners of war during the Korean War. The evidence that their tactics of torture, isolation, sensory deprivation were successfully used to control the minds of their captives is non-existent. Very few, only 22 out of 4,500, or about one-half of 1%, of those captured by the Chinese went over to the other side. Sutherland, that's 0.05, Sutherland, 1979, on page 114, in The Myth of Success by the Chinese, is primarily due to the work of Edward Hunter, whose brainwashing in Red China, The Calculated Destruction of Men's Minds, published by Vanguard Press in 1951. Now, that's still referred to by those who see mind control tactics as a major menace. Now, the CIA provided most of Hunter's fodder in their effort to inspire hatred of the North Koreans and communism to explain why some American soldiers didn't hate the enemy and to aggrandize their own role by arguing that they themselves must investigate brainwashing techniques in order to keep up with the enemy. So, we Americans took a look at brainwashing after the Korean War, and we said, well, we better get after this also. And that's what you see going on right now in Iraq. The methods that are being used to get information out of those prisoners is called pain compliance over here. That's the politically correct term. You step on their fingers. You beat them up. You take photographs of them. You apply physical and psychological pressure, and you play the Mutt and Jeff routine on them. You see, you have a hard guy that comes in, and he beats up on this guy. You have another guy, he comes in, and he washes out your cuts and bruises, and he gives you a cigarette, and he says, God, I wish I could help you there, Muhammad, but, you know, Bob, he's a major, and I'm just a lieutenant, and I have to do what I'm told. But listen, if you'll help me, I'll help you. So the hard guy comes in, and maybe he orders this guy to be handcuffed to his bars and makes him stand there, you know, for 10 or 12 hours. That's what's going on there. That's what happened to Patricia Hearst. And pretty soon, Patricia Hearst said, you know, it would just be better for me if I joined this other side. And she did. Now, she could change her mind at any time. Free moral agency is a fact of life. Free moral agency is designed by God and put into you, and it's described in Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Americans have it right. We might brainwash you, and we might convert you, and we might make you do what you otherwise wouldn't do. But we can't control your mind. We can't make you love it. But the communists have sold us on communism, and we love it. That form of brainwashing. Hang on, we'll be back with more of brainwashing. Like the All right, we're back. You're listening to The Law Hour, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is brought to you by the Gordon Law School as an educational service in the public interest. For more information about The Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. All right, here's tonight's wise old saying. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. All right, we're talking about brainwashing and psychopolitics. Psychopolitics is the word the Russians like to apply, and brainwashing is the term that we Americans typically hang on this concept or this belief that people can be forced or that they can be coerced into doing something against their will and over their objection. If that was really true, then free moral agency would be suspended, and then the plan of God would be thwarted. Everybody has to have free moral agency, the right to choose, the power to choose, the capacity to choose. Now, in America, we have a brainwashing program that is in place, and it's very coercive and very seductive. Let me just describe a couple to you. Let's take vaccinations as an illustration. I don't know what your thinking is on vaccination, but 88% of Americans are vaccinated. Only 12% of us refuse or avoid vaccinations. Now, here's a couple of facts that come into the equation. 90% of pediatricians, those are baby doctors, those are the people of the American Medical Association who specialize in babies and children, 90% of those pediatricians do not vaccinate their own children. All right? All 50 of our states have statutes on the books that require you to vaccinate your children. 48 of those 50 states have a methodology whereby you can avoid vaccination. 2 states do not have a system whereby you can avoid the vaccinations, and you have to go into court to get a court order. So there are 50 states with 50 laws that require vaccination, and all 50 of those states, if you know how, you can avoid vaccination. Why is it then that 88% of the people are vaccinated? It's because 88% of the people have chosen to be vaccinated. Now, it may be that they are vaccinating their children or vaccinating themselves out of fear. It may be that they don't want the vaccinations, but they're afraid that the state will come in and take their children away from them if they don't. Or maybe they're afraid that, gosh, if I don't do this, people will think poorly of me and I'm real concerned about my image in the community or in my family. All human beings are motivated by these 5 motivators. You're motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Any psycho political handler knows and understands those 5 motivators and will work on those 5 motivators to persuade you that you should do what it is that we want you to do. Americans have been brainwashed, but they don't know that. You've been brainwashed, and so have I. Many of the beliefs and practices that we engage in are patently insane. Patently insane. And we practice these insane policies and practices in spite of the fact that we know that it isn't true. For instance, Santa Claus and Christmas. You know that Santa Claus is a fable. You know that Santa Claus is a lie. You've been taught about Santa Claus. You've taught it to your children, and you practice it. Now, the communists would look at you and say, well, that's patently insane. And they're exactly correct. And that's why the communists have said that religion is the opiate of the people, because religion of and by itself is insane. Religion is insane. Think about it. You go to church, you believe in Jesus, and you carry a Bible, and you practice the Judo or Judeo-Christian ethic, whatever that is. I've never had anybody explain it to me. If you know what the Judeo-Christian ethic is, would you please write me an email and tell me what it is? I'd love to know. I haven't got a clue. I know that everybody believes in it. I know that it's the standard of religion in America, but I don't know what it is. I wouldn't know how to recognize it. And I've never met anybody else who could explain it or who could recognize it themselves, but everybody in this country believes in it. I say that's patent insanity. Let's try another one. On Easter sunrise morning, you'll get up and go out and worship the sun as it rises in the east. Now, that sun worship, that comes from these ancient, old, pagan, Babylonian, Assyrian, Chaldean mystery religions. You know that. But why do you do that? Now, we do things that we know are patently fictitious or patently false. Somebody had to persuade us that we should do that. And the reason that you get up and go to church isn't because you believe in God. You believe in evolution. You know that God lied to you in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 that the world was not created in 6 days, that the world was created over millions and billions and billions of years. You know that. And yet you go to church. You go to church and you worship the very God, at least you believe you're worshiping the very God that wrote Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and lied to you. How do you rationalize that kind of thinking? Jesus himself, in Luke 6, verse 41, he hit the nail on the head. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say?" All right, now let's try another one. This November, you're going to vote for George Bush or John Kerry. Now, you really don't want to vote for either one of those guys, but you're going to vote for one or the other because you know you don't want to throw your vote away. What you're really saying is, I want to vote for the winner. I'm not going to vote for what's right or what's good or what's righteous or what's needed. I'm going to vote for expediency. My God, we've got to get rid of Bush, and the only way to do that is to vote for Kerry. It's almost like saying, I want to get off the Titanic and onto the Lusitania. I'm not quite sure why people think that way, but I am certain that that is the way they think because that's what I observe. Now, that's patently insane. Patently insane. But that's the way Americans think. That's the way Americans react. They're motivated, remember, by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. The best part about the upcoming election here in America is that our next president is going to be a skull and bones man. Skull and Bones is a satanic secret society. It is dedicated to the reduction of the Earth's population by 90%. It is dedicated to the New World Order, the United Nations, and the New One World Order. And we're going to get that. And it doesn't make any difference whether the guy that we elect is a Republican or a Democrat. That's what we're going to get. Now, everybody in America knows that. The news media has already reported. I mean, the major news media, that John Kerry is a member of Skull and Bones. I'm not sure that that means anything to the average Joe Sixpack, but at least now he knows that George Bush and John Kerry are frat brothers. Now, if you don't believe in the Patriot Act or the New World Order, the United Nations and socialism and these various and sundry policies, why do you vote for the politicians who have given you this socialist welfare state? It would seem like to me that everybody who's opposed to it would be voting for Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or Daffy Duck or somebody else, anybody but Kerry or Bush. Now, I've got my own thinking about politics, and I'm not advocating that you vote or that you vote for any particular person. I just want to point out that Americans are going to go vote, and they're going to go vote because they believe in it. But how did they come to the conclusion that this is sane and rational and that this is something that they should do and that they want to do? It would look like to me that voting is the problem, not the solution. Now, brainwashing in the real world, in the real sense, is not a neat, cut-and-dried clinical control, controlled lobotomy. We don't come up to you and cut into your brain and remove something like your free moral agency and then control you, get you to go in and vote this way or that way. Now, it's much more subtle and it's much more effective than that. The entire population of America has been taught and trained in just 3 years to accept being searched before you get on an airplane. Without a search warrant, without probable cause, you have been taught and trained. You have been brainwashed. If you have ridden on an airplane in the last 3 years, since the Patriot Act, since 9/11, you've been taught that you need to be searched, that your Fourth Amendment needs to be abridged. And it has been, and it is. And everybody that flies on an airliner has waived his Fourth Amendment right. Nobody's forcing you to do that. Nobody's given you a lobotomy. Nobody has put a gun to your head and said, if you want to do this, you're going to have to bend over and spread your cheeks, take off your shoes so that we can look for explosives. You do it voluntarily. You do it because everybody else does it. You do it because this is what everybody does in this country. This is the way it's done. But you see, that's the communist, that's the socialist methodology. That's not the way America, under our Constitution and Bill of Rights, is set up and designed. Now, of course, we don't practice our liberties and freedoms the way it was set up and designed by our founding fathers. We gave that up a long time ago. But the question is, how were you persuaded to do that? Well, we got to leave it right there. We'll be back tomorrow to answer some of these questions for you on brainwashing, psychopolitics. All right, stand by. We'll be back.